Hello, everyone. Welcome back to There Are Four Hosts. As always, there are four hosts. I am one of the four hosts. My name is Sabrina. You can find me at Voidcat Gaming on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram.
And I am another one of the hosts that she speaks of. I'm Michael. You can find me at Four Hosts on Twitter.
And I am three of four. I mean,
hey, wait a minute.
One of the other hosts.
Seven of nine.
I am Jonathan. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Just Average J.
Hi, I'm Keith Justice. You can find me always looking up at Keith Justice on Twitter or Instagram. My Twitter is really bad, so you probably don't want to go there.
Okay.
I don't think much is posted there except for my Instagram, so you might as well just go to Instagram.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Also, do I now have permission to refer to myself as one of four then? Because that's great.
Two of four.
Hello, I am one of four.
I am two of four.
I thought you'd like that.
Michael claimed two of four, Joe's three of four.
I'm four of four, but I prefer,
I prefer
go by four.
Four, like you want to go by four?
Yes.
What about four squared?
Oh, yes.
And what about Johnny five? Do we have Johnny five?
Alive. No. Johnny five alive.
There's only four hosts.
Yep.
Okay, you know, okay.
Therefore, we can never have guest hosts.
Yeah, screw them.
All the young people would have no idea what Johnny five even means.
I know. It's sad.
It is sad.
I mean, if those parents don't love their children, they don't.
I love that answer, Keith. Yes, that is correct. If they hate life and their children, they will not.
Right there. Anyway, hi. Yeah, today we're covering Lower Decks episodes. We are going to do 2 and 3 today because 3's already come out by the time we're recording this. Our bad friends. Life happens. We're going to talk about episode 2 first. And then 3. And then we'll talk about general feelings about how the show's going so far. So shall we start with 2? I feel like with this show, it'd be fun. We'll just like talk about the before credits scene.
Mm.
The before the intro scene. Because it's like a separate joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That's what it's like with comedies. So a floating blue orb shows up. Supplicate yourselves! And then she forces him to, like, make her, like, a super high-tech gadget, and then he goes to attack something else, and he just, like, poofs out on her mom.
Well, he attacks the captain, and then is gone.
Dies.
Yeah. Because I'm how I am, I was like, this on paper is great, and how me and my friends joke. None of the jokes landed with me, and I tried to smile, and I was trying to like get myself to it, and I was like, "Man, they're like too obvious or too plain." Where you go directly to make me some whiskey, ha ha ha! You're ineffectual. Now you're gone. Like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with my love for you, Keith. I just want to.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my god!
Once again,
like we're in sync on so many things. Cobra Kai, you know, like I just like movies. I just 80s
Maybe
movies. Yeah,
you just have very different requirements for satire.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess like when it comes to my enjoyment of humor, like I like unexpected left hooks where like I don't know the exact thing that's going to happen next. Where this is just like I can tell with the tone of the show, like you're gonna they're gonna just make fun of it and then it's gonna week out and that's it. Versus like all of a sudden, like I guess for me, it would have been funny if like one of the characters is suddenly killed and like you never see the person ever again. Like that would have that would crack me up and like. Still left by
and
job.
Not even someone in a red shirt, like a scientist,
like one of the main characters we've been following up to this point. You're like, whoa,
that'd be
what?
Funny.
And
hold on, excuse me.
Oh, I don't want that to happen because I so far on paper I like them all, but to me, the unexpected joke of like you know not taking it back, that shock is funny to me. Versus,
I see where
you know,
you're coming from.
I can see the start and beginning of the joke when it happened.
I gotcha.
All right, Michael, what's your opinion?
Well, I have, never mind. So many things are going through my head. So Keith's saying that he likes smart humor, right? And everybody else likes dumb. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No.
No.
I'm not mediating this fight right now.
Keith knows I have nothing but love.
I mean, I have nothing but love.
No, it's, I found the second episode just as funny as the first. I mean, I'm a huge fan since episode one. I think it's hilarious. I love the animation. Like I said before, I love seeing our like the TNG style animated, you know, the L cars and the ships and everything. I love it. So
I love that. I agree with you there.
Well, there you go. There you go.
When I'm looking at the screen, I'm seeing lots of visuals. So I'm like, yes, this is what I've wanted to see for years.
And then they open their mouth. You're like, God damn it.
Yep. I'm like, yeah. I'm trying to get
Star Trek paint. The Star Trek paint is excellent.
It is. And that's not nothing. Yeah, because
that's something.
Spent like decades of not getting this. And finally, except for Star Trek Online, they get it to me. Yeah, finally we're.
Star Trek Online is made by a bunch of nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I say this lovingly, clearly.
Hell yeah.
I am the biggest nerds. Of nerds, but yeah. They're truly nerds. Like, yeah.
They're one of us. They are us.
Did you have something to say about the floating orb scene specifically, Michael, or just like in general you wanted to defend the episode?
Just in general. That was my mini rant for right now.
All right. Sounds good. Jaded.
Shout out to Jaded.
Shout out to Jaded. He doesn't. Listen, okay. Jay, did you have an opinion about that scene? He's not.
You know, I thought it was hilarious. I love that Mariner was like, get over here. Give me that tube. Give me that tube. Come here. I got you. And it's like, wait. No. Okay. Bluff called. I'll grant you a wish. I mean, it's like, I just love that she like was like, oh, I know what this is. Hold on. Get over here. Like, you know, she had like no fear. Just was, it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I do like the no fear bit of it. I kind of wish it was a little more like, I'm fine with her being like Starfleet being obsessed with the rules is dumb, but like the morals of forcing that thing. Ah, it's evil anyway. So give me the thing and batteries. Ah, you're dead now. I'm a little iffy.
Yeah.
On.
I mean, I understand that. I understand.
Well, it is a cartoon though, but yeah I understand.
Right. So this is going to be our usual route. The two of you are going to be like, you're thinking too hard about it. And the two of us are going to be like, you're not thinking about it hard enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
it's like the porridge was just like, right. However you actually enjoy it, that's as much as you need to think about it. And if you want you can, I don't know. Like, I don't want to put anybody's opinion down. I want us to all be, they're all equal. It's just that I need certain things in.
I respect your opinion, Keith. It's just frustrating to me. That's all.
we're all equal, but I'm the most right.
I'm more just equal.
I'm right below Jay as far as right.
Yeah.
It's Jay, then me, Rhino. Then whoever.
Love
else.
The opening music.
Hey. Love the opening music.
There you go. That is good music, Keith.
I've actually mentioned this before. The soundtrack, like the background music for the episodes, is amazing. Like the music, music is so top notch.
These sound effects are a little interesting because, like, some of them are Voyager and some of them are TNG and some of them are DS9.
Yeah,
the nice. Combination of the looks and the music and the humor is just short of being as good as the Orville.
Crickets.
And sorry.
There's the Orville reference.
I'm sorry. There's the Orville reference for you this episode, guys.
8 minutes and 30 seconds. Truth had 8 minutes and 30 seconds to get.
It's a record. You last 8 minutes. Yep. Yeah.
Trying to help you people.
Wait. Okay. So I just have one more thing I wanted to say about that. Like thinking not hard enough. Thinking too hard about this. It's not a choice how hard we think about a thing. It's just like naturally the way that our brains function. Mm-hmm. So inevitably it's going to be different for everyone, but like
it's whatever life experience brought us to this point.
There's no right or wrong, but it does make it harder to enjoy things if you think more.
Well, I mean, whoa.
Like I understand, obviously we're not,
I'm not like, saying that's a good thing. I do wish I could enjoy things more easily. So I want to turn my brain off more often.
Because Jay and I think less, we enjoy things more.
I think that different life paths lead you to needing to think more, wanting to think more about certain things. And like when it comes to like music, I am the bad guy when it comes to music. Like how people see movies, it frustrates me. And if you heard me talk out loud about music, I would horrify people. because like I don't care that much. Like back in the day when people were like, oh my God, Limp Bizkit's terrible. I'm like, is it? Or Britney Spears is not that talented. I'm like, are you sure? I love her music.
And it is like specific to not just like in general, like my brain is always going, but like thinking about, because I have training in writing and in acting, like thinking about the processes that got them there. I'm definitely not saying it's better. Like, I wish, I think it's rude of our society to like imply that one thing is better than the other when really like whatever makes you happy is great.
Yeah.
It's I wish I could not be analytical all the time. I can't not.
There are people who consume like lots of music and like they can't help but become analytical. That's their passion. That's their love. And they understand like how music's made at all. I don't. Like, if I hear music, usually I always say it's good because I can't do that. So it must be good. But like, I remember when like LaToya Jackson came out and she started doing her music and people were like, oh my God, it's terrible. I'm like, right. Is it really?
Is it?
Well, like, I couldn't do that.
It's the whole ignorance is bliss thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The less you know, the more you can just tune it out and just pay attention.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. But what I was going to say, though, is like, obviously, I hope you and Keith know we're not, like, coming after you for that stuff. Like, I enjoy that you're analytical and that you think.
I actually am. No,
I'm kidding.
I'm not trying to say, like, oh, you're, like, I hope I never come off as sounding like,
you
oh,
don't.
No, you don't.
Like, I'm right.
I just want to make sure that I'm not coming off as elitist by being like, it's better to think more. I'm not saying that. No, I'm just saying, like, I can't shut the analytics off. Yeah. Yeah. And if I could, I would be able to enjoy things more easily.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just giving shit. So
yeah, I don't enjoy music less because other people think about it more. It's just good to me.
Well, and you talked about life experiences and stuff. And I think the way that I'm wired is because of my life experiences. And I can take a step back and turn off the thinking because I had to when I was younger. Like, that was the only
I'm
way for
jealous
me to make it,
of
to make it
that
through.
Skill.
Well,
even if it was
yes
a
and no. I mean,
developed in an unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah. But the problem with that, though, is that now it's not something that I have full control of. So there are things that I should pay attention to more that I don't because, you could call it airheadedness, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, I just don't, I have focus issues because of that. So that's why it's easy for me to just sit back and enjoy stupid funny because I'm not, you know what I mean?
Have like, a great time.
And that's, I mean, but again, that's all of our life experiences and they kind of make us who we are. And that's what makes this podcast balanced. You know, I mean, we have different experiences, different backgrounds, different viewpoints, different lives. So that's why I value all of you so much. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, I value too, buddy.
Right back at
you. Wait, how wild that you can encounter so many different opinions if we go outside of our own bubble.
Yeah, right? Like my tough childhood required me to get away from the difficulties and then study like writing, like the structure, how it's made, like delving deeply into that, you know, filled my soul up and made me find something beyond like the difficulties that I was experiencing as a kid. So,
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And let me use that to segue. I, like Keith just described, used imaginary worlds to keep myself going when I wasn't interested in the world I was living in.
Same.
You know, like when I was a high schooler. So, as I've talked about before in Star Trek roleplay, I get very, very, like, obsessive about the rules of the world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is kind of kicking me in the ass because one of the things I was very specific about was this is the military. If you go into one thing, you're staying in that thing. If they spend 10 years training you to do like one division, you're not going to just like joke off to another division because you feel like it. Right.
Which is
so the entire plot of this episode for Rutherford, I was just like, okay, I see what you're doing, but I hate you.
But for me, I'm with you on like rules and structure. But when the way I see the Star Trek world is that it seemed like everyone is base level genius compared to what we are now. Therefore, all of them can potentially and more easily just change a career if they wanted to. That's how I see it.
Sure. Which is the thing you could do as a crewman, but you need like very specific training in like procedures, and you have to learn an entire new set of procedure if you're going to switch divisions. Like,
the way I see Star Trek, in present day, I understand what you're talking about, but the fantasy of how I see Star Trek makes it so that it's possible for them to do it easier, quicker.
That's cool. My fantasy disagrees with you.
No, I get you.
I see where you're coming from, because, for example, we find out that, like, quantum physics is just something that they study in high school.
Yeah.
So, like, in theory, they would have the knowledge to switch between any of them. But, like, if they spend all of this time training you in security, security is about, like, reteaching your body's instincts. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, that's cool, but I decided I'm going to do science instead. Like, how frustrating.
Nope, I hear you and I agree with you.
Speaking of security... Yeah. That was my favorite part when he was just
the bears.
He was like, "You're born bred for you're born for this." He's like, "Okie dokie." He just annihilated all the Borg. He was like, "Okie dokie."
You mean the smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord. The smorgasbord.
What a punch!
I did like that scene.
It was so funny.
So I was annoyed by the rules kind of breakage there, but what I did appreciate was how super supportive and positive everyone is of Rutherford in general. Just like every time they're like, oh, you want to do that? That sounds fantastic! Yeah, you're going to do great! Woohoo! I was like, that's very Starfleet of them.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
Agreed. I know. Very cool.
That's Star Trek, how it should be. There's a small nitpick I heard where I heard them say ducts too much instead of saying Jeffrey's tubes.
Mm. Ducts, yes.
I was like,
the
guys,
Jeffrey's tubes.
I like hearing Jeffrey's tubes. I don't. I'm like, I still have not done the one click of research it needs to me to do to find out why they call it Jeffrey's tubes. I like not knowing, but just like hearing it said, I'm just like, yes, Jeffrey's tubes.
They're the tubes that belong to Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Who is Jeffrey? I have no idea.
He probably designed all of them.
He lives. Yeah. He lives in the tubes. Just don't worry about it. If you see
he
him,
lives
run,
in the steam tunnels.
We need tubes on starships, and this guy named Jeffrey just came through, and like we just never turned back.
Each ship is actually equipped with one Jeffrey.
I know.
To manage awesome. The tubes.
That's amazing.
Anyway, so
the system works.
Let's just do it by storyline. Let's talk about Rutherford's storyline in general. Yeah. So the bears were your favorite, huh, Jay?
Well, I just love that Borg scene. I hate seeing the Borg get annihilated because obviously I love Borg, but. It still was funny that he was just like, okie dokie. It's just, he's such a funny character, you know? I love it.
Yep, just come with the flow.
Yep.
In a point, like, to the point where it's almost a weakness, you know? Like, he's just like, oh, I must change all my plans to match other people's plans. And then she's like, you weren't changing jobs for me, were you? No. I would never do that.
Yeah. It's just it was funny how bad he was at the medical. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to calm him down. Think about the warp core. I got burned by the warp core.
You should be dead, man.
See that
I loved it when he was when he tried command. There's like a shout out to Riker when they were like, you know, nothing compares to a firm, hot pulse of a joystick in your hand. I was like, okay.
Yep.
Next.
I actually wrote down there the firm, hot pulse of a joystick in your hand command. Is this JJ Kirk or Riker?
Did Riker actually say that?
He didn't say that, but he used the joystick in like Insurrection, I think. Yeah.
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 Which is ridiculous in and of itself, but.
I guess it is. To me, it always makes the most sense. Like, I always wonder, how are they doing these maneuvers by just typing? How are they doing this?
Yeah. There's actually a tracker pad. We just never see them use it.
Right.
On paper, once again, I suck. On paper, I liked this storyline for the cyborg guy, jumping between job to job, and... I feel like it should have, for me, unleashed a lot of great humor. Instead, it gave me pleasant smiles and nodding. And then just too much of, for some reason, I could, like, once again, this episode, I could see the beginning and end of all the jokes. And so I didn't get an actual laugh out loud moment. I will say that I loved their design of the engineering set. That is a gorgeous engineering section. So that I did like a lot.
Cool.
Nice.
Oh, and a note that I can't remember what part I am talking about. The scare, there's a jump scare that actually made me jump. I can't remember what happened.
Really?
You guys remember?
don't remember that. A jump scare.
I do not.
Nope.
Huh.
One thing
right,
I want to one thing I want to bring up, but this is actually the next episode. I just want to bring it up so I don't forget. Is we're speaking about Riker, and I love how the commander in the next episode does the Riker maneuver a few times.
Oh. Which one? Oh. Leg up.
The leg up. He does the Riker maneuver, but he does the Kirk maneuver too, where he rips his shirt off.
Andy uses
that's what I'm saying. He's double Kirk.
Yeah,
He's like TOS Kirk, J.J. Abrams Kirk.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Riker,
we'll get
there. Sambo. Yeah,
we'll get there. I know. We're getting there. I know. I just, I like, we're talking about Riker, and I just don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
We won't.
All right.
We'll talk about the commander next episode.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Michael, do you have anything to say about Rutherford?
I thought the storyline, I mean, it seemed kind of like silly that he was changing all the jobs, but I liked that he was doing that, and I liked getting to see him in different, scenarios. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Not just no bedside matter whatsoever.
Right.
Yep.
Anything else about Rutherford? No, pretty much covered it.
I'm finding that on this episode, I don't have a lot of notes. I didn't take that much. There wasn't that much that connected for me to think about or talk about, and a lot of my notes are talking about what I think about fiction is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's like the majority of my notes, where I was watching this YouTube channel called Accented Cinema, and he pointed out, like, I keep on searching for, like, why don't I like a certain thing, and he pointed out something like where certain creations that I have fallen in love with throughout time, they exploded from someone's heart and mind. And like this person who has been thinking their life on this thing for so long, and it bursts from their mouth and hit the screen. And then that's what gets me engaged, versus then it gets owned by a corporation, and then this corporation hires someone to then recreate someone else's voice. And it ends up looking like a product to me, instead of a genuine creation. So that's what's been bothering me a lot. So I'm not seeing enough of, like, someone's true love of space, astronomy, and spaceships. I'm seeing, like, another thing I remember in high school, like, where I had some friends who could draw, and, like, they could draw, like, some amazing things. And then, like, I'd beg, can you draw this for me, please? And they do, and I could notice and feel and see it on the paper that it wasn't as good as what they normally draw. And because
it's the thing you wanted, not the thing they wanted.
Yeah, they're doing it by request versus like something exploding from their soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that.
There's one thing I have to say to that, and that's most of the notes that I have on this episode are, this is a reference to this, this is a reference to this, this is a reference to this, this is a reference to this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
that's what I gotta say about that.
Another snooty thing. I apologize once again for any kind of pretentiousness that comes out of my mouth. When it comes to references, like I've been listening to a podcast from Michael Rosenbaum, where he like interviews all these like nerd stars that I've liked throughout time. And he interviewed James Gunn, and like there's like this feeling I've always gotten from Guardians of the Galaxy that's more Star Wars than new Star Wars has been, and. Mm-hmm. He said out loud why. Because when he went to make Guardians of the Galaxy, he was like, I didn't want to make Star Wars. I wanted to make something for a kid, what a kid would like who saw Star Wars. And what you see on the screen is his genuine love of Star Wars, but being recreated from that love, if that makes sense. And I'm not seeing enough of like recreation from genuine love versus a corporation says, we need a cartoon and we need to freaking appeal to this, the demographic has been asking for all these specific things. Go.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, to not be such a downer, I do keep thinking that because of all the elements they have, it's possible for it to actually start turning into something that I will like.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Scene.
All right. Well, let's talk about the plot A, actually, because I think Rutherford was plot B. Plot A being the escort mission. Let's start with the intro of this mysterious person that somehow Mariner knows, because Mariner's done everything and been everywhere. How do you know each other? off the books Grey Ops shit back in the day. What day? We're the same age. let me just say that's an interesting way to do a Dax reference.
I didn't even know that's what it was, right? I didn't even pick that up, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael, what did you think about that scene?
I didn't get the Dax reference either, but that was, yeah. I just love Mariner in general.
Well, let's talk about the scene in general.
How is it a Dax scene? Sorry, I didn't catch it either.
Because Dax is besties with the Klingons, and they're like, wait, how the heck? And she's like, oh yeah, we did the thing back in the day. And they're like, wait, what?
Oh, okay.
But you're like,
yes.
20?
Corazon or Kazon? Corazon?
Kazon.
Kazon, yeah.
That's right. Kazon Dax.
Cardassian Dax. What? I'm messing up her name on purpose. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
I was like, what?
Never mind.
There's a Cardassian Dax?
What? Curzon. I mean, Cardassian. Curzon. I mean,
oh,
I'm just
okay.
Trying to mess up names on purpose. That's not as clever as it sounded in my head.
Hey, jeez. Yo, let's go. All right, so let me just... Okay, first of all, the Klingon district being Chinatown, I'm, like, torn up on, because yes, Klingons originally were like very much Mongols, and it's kind of a reference to that, but also just the visuals of it were like Chinatown with Klingons stuck on it, and unfortunately I'm also getting that kind of feeling that it's a general parody with Star Trek stuff on it rather than a Star Trek parody in many moments, and this is one of those for me. Like, it was a Klingon district, and then they walked through Chinatown, and then they came out into... It was supposed to be an Andorian district, but it was like there was a Risa district in the middle of it, I guess, and then... By the way, how many times did they say Jemma Haron in this episode? Because it was like absurd. Like, an absurd amount. I think more.
Yeah.
I think more than that. the Autobahn was funny, but also, like, kind of a weird reference to Majel... To Majel's character, Troy's mom. So I'm like not sure how I feel about that one either. She's just like, I can tell that you want to bang me, Picard. da 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 da. And then the Ferengi
beautiful.
Trick.
I was like, Picard, why are you having such a problem with this? She's a beautiful woman, and she's the mother of Troy. What are you doing, Picard? Anyway, that's
I feel like she's a little harassy. Like, back off, lady. Wait until he's off shift before you hit on him. Right. Don't do it in front of his whole crew. Come on.
Not in front of the dudes. Or the crew. Okay,
not in front of your daughter and your daughter's boyfriend.
True.
Unless we're trying to prove to the Ferengi that I'm yours and not theirs. And then I'll come sit on your lap on the bridge and never
okay.
Mind. Yeah. Oh, God.
Not cool on the viewing screen, Troy's mom. Not cool on the viewing screen.
Yeah.
I want to go first so that you guys can bring us back up from me being Debbie McDonerson and
stop saying that as if I'm not okay. Down there with you.
I hated so much the Mariner's perfect, and she's got perfect at everything. Boimler sucks again at everything. Right down to the ending where I was like, oh no, they're going to do this, aren't they? Because, like, Boimler's right. And oh God, did she set this up for him? And then, like, at the end of the episode, she does the smirk. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is happening, isn't it? Where she's going to call up the Ferengi and they're going to be like, we go way back. Thanks for making him look good. And I'm just like, And then I was thinking about, I don't know if there's anybody out there who used to listen to my old podcast, HJU Radio. I was like, I've seen this done before and I really loved it. In a show called Comrade Kabuto, where there are these two guys and they both can transform into a armored superhero to fight the monsters that are plaguing the city. And one of them, like, is really freaking great at it. He's like a god at it. And the other one looks up to him. So that there's a point where sometimes the one who's better beats up the younger one to make him stronger and learn that he has to stand on his own. But there's a point where the younger one was like, you know what? If you're so good, I don't need to do this. And maybe I should just support you. And he gave up his armor and he went into the kitchen and like he just started being kind of subservient and stuff to the point where at the end of the episode, this one episode, the strong one let the weaker one get into a situation where no one was coming to save him. There's a monster was coming for him, and he had to take up his gun that, you know, he wasn't sure was going to make the day. And then he's like, ah! And he stood up for himself and started shooting at the monster, and it wasn't enough to take him, but the stronger guy has this super speed he can kick in, and he killed in the super speed, the freeze frame, and the strong guy kicked the shit out of the monster, it exploded, and he ran off. And the younger one was like, I did it! And he learned this lesson of, needing to make sure that you're always your own hero. Don't give it up to someone else. And then, the strong one never told him. And for that, it worked so much for me. And, I never forgot that scene. But I guess in this scene, there's too much smugness about, I guess I have to do everything for him, it felt like, versus really trying to teach him a lesson of being strong on his own. So, yeah, I hated this, what they did so much in this episode.
Yeah, let me piggyback on that so that we can get all the bad stuff out of the way before the two of you bring us back up.
Yeah.
That annoyed the shit out of me, too, because just, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. I can't understand. I can't express to you how frequently this has been a message in my life where it's like, that dude has an ego. And now that his ego's shaken, he's causing problems. Boimler all of a sudden isn't self-assured, so he's just moping and he's making more problems for her, etc., etc., etc. So she has to sacrifice her own ego and pretend to suck at something so that he can make fun of her so that he can feel better again. Oh. And he just says it to everyone, and he's just a super bad loser, but anyway, she's the one who has to take the hit. Ha ha ha! That's fucking not funny. Okay.
Nope. Yeah, he didn't learn anything. He became a snob himself. Even, yeah. Yeah, I didn't.
The lady who did her job perfectly has to just take the hit because otherwise the man will be insufferable. Cool. I love that messaging. So, yep. Sorry. It's just that's one of the things that pisses me off. So, yep. Jay, Michael, can you guys?
I'll go next if that's okay.
Michael.
No, we're going to end with Jay because I'm not quite, I'm kind of in the middle. I liked the episode overall, but I did think that was a little on the nose and kind of ridiculous. The way they turned, had Boimler, I'll learn how to say his name eventually. He kind of went too far and just became like an asshole, when he was talking about it at the end. But I do love Mariner. She's a great character. I mean, I love that one line she said, I would be happy to handle you all your ass, had me laughing. I thought it was hilarious. I did think that was a little on the nose, but it was good seeing Mariner do her thing, I guess, is what I took from it. Jay? Okay.
All right. So here's my take on that. So I agree that he was a poor winner. All right. I mean, making fun of someone or downing someone is never okay. I mean, that the end of that scene, I will admit, I was not that much of a fan of. But leading up to that, again, this is life experience stuff. So I, at a point in my life, was Boimler. So I had I moved to California from Indiana. I was a very straight, I was Boimler. I was just super by the book. I was very, there was no gray area. You know what I mean? It was very white and black. And I had a friend that basically was Mariner. I mean, first person that I ever drank with, first person that got me into trouble, first person that got me to loosen up and kind of learn to enjoy life because I had it pretty rough, and I was going through some really bad stuff. So, he would do similar things that Mariner did, right? To give me small wins. And with the way my self-confidence was, obviously I was not one of those people that rubbed it in his face because that is not okay. And I was still insecure, but actually that scene kind of hit me because I was like, wow, I actually have a friend who was Mariner for me when I was Boimler back when I was 14. And, to this day, we still joke about it. Cause everyone's like, man, do you remember when you first got here from Indiana and how much square you were? And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I didn't know any better, And he he kind of opened my eyes to what life really was, not the textbook of what life was supposed to be that I had been taught. You know what I'm saying? So actually, really, that scene, it was different for me because I actually felt it. And I had lived something similar to that. And, you know, he... Mariner giving Boimler that small win, I thought was a sweet gesture. And it's something that I've had people do for me in the past when I was Boimler. So I did love that scene, to be honest. But I did not love the fact that he was a douche after.
Yeah.
Because that's not cool. I mean, I never rubbed anything in my buddy's face. Now, I will admit that I there were psychologically some things where I was, like, jealous of him. And we fist fought, and we definitely had our issues. But I never rubbed wins in his face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's rude.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my take.
Cool. I'm going backwards in my notes for a sec on that plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love that I love that view of it, that it is a gesture of love to help someone else out. That is a good way of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the way it was structured and written to just so strongly just tip it in, like, just all her, and then he can't even, like, do anything on his own, and just, like, even if he does, then it's because he's a fucking idiot, and then he gets to be a dumbass afterwards about it, and then, and just, like,
guys, he'll never know, I guess.
Yeah, like, when, I was, like, bringing up Other Space, I like that show, because everyone's an idiot, and, like, the only way they win the day is because each one of them has a strength that can compensate for the other, and they kind of help each other overcome all their foolishness, like, all me and my friends, and everyone I live, every person I've ever met in life is like, everybody has a flaw, and they all mix together to create wins, versus just one person has all the flaws, and it takes one person to save the day. So,
Gotcha. I was actually just going back for a joke. When Boimler is freaking out before she sets up the whole Ferengi thing. Oh, and also, the Ferengi thing was funny, too, because it was, like, him being, like, a TNG Ferengi. and then, like, actually being a DS9 Ferengi.
good difference.
Good difference. When he was freaking out, and he's like, and I'm that person who goes off into a planet on their own for a science mission, and then I get eaten, and then they have to piece together what happened from my shaky visual logs. it does remind me, that's a great Star Trek joke, but also, they already did that Star Trek joke in Galaxy Quest, with Guy freaking out and being like, I don't even have a last name! It was cute, but I've seen it before. Anywho.
And that's Lower Decks. It's cute, but I've seen it before. I'm a snob. No, wait, I wasn't making it for you. I was making it for how I see it as well.
I know you were. Okay. Keep... Oh my Sorry. God.
That's how it could have sounded like. I was making... Anyway.
Whatever. This is outstanding. You've got to be true to yourself. Bears!
Yes.
Boimler? No, wait, that's not the right... Rutherford, that is outstanding! it is certainly like a feel good show, though. Like, I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate
I'm
that going
so picky with satire. Like, so yeah, that's fair. Anything else to say about episode 2?
I just want to bring up, I love the scene at the end between Tendi and Rutherford. Where she was watching the event that she wanted to do on her pad, and he was doing
She's
work.
Like,
I thought
it's
that
so
was
beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, I thought that was a nice
and he's
scene.
He's like, isn't it?
I want to point in that I love that the Klingon gets hammered and throws up and steals the shuttle. I mean, we haven't even brought that up, but that's like,
that's true.
Amazing. I mean, it's like, how Klingon is that, right?
And in fact, they find him in the shuttle right outside of where he's supposed to be, but he's not on the doorstep. He's in the shuttle still. Like, right place, kind of. Made it by himself, ish.
Kind of.
Michael?
Yes. I didn't have anything more about this episode.
Okay. And then just one, like, typical Star Trek thing, but I just want to point out that it's being done, that everyone uses their last names. It'd be really weird if they didn't, but
yeah,
I'm glad they do. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so episode 3.
Yes.
The pre-intro bit has Boimler playing violin and Irish step dancing, which is incredibly difficult to do simultaneously. And then Mariner takes over with, like, insanely loud stuff, which... Have I seen that joke already in Rick and Morty? Or am I imagining that?
Maybe. I feel like I've seen the joke definitely somewhere before.
In any case, I'm impressed by Sound's ability to transmit through space to a different ship loudly enough to do that. But anyway, so almost causes an incident to send the security officer down, and then he breaks Boimler's violin. How'd you guys feel about that?
To start on the low note, I want to start on low note. I'm getting way too sensitive at crap on Boimler, so I was like, ugh, again. But on paper, I do like this, but I thought the joke was going to go in a different direction because wouldn't Klingons love death metal? So
yeah.
I don't think I'd be like, what's this awesome stuff? And then they get maybe offended at hearing the violin, but it didn't go there. It just went to, and now I'm back. Ah, my violin!
mm-hmm.
It's funny, I guess.
Yeah, since we're getting the bad stuff out of the way, I guess it's just going to be me and Keith first and then you two to pick us up. Pick up the slack. I'm sorry, friends.
We're used to it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, at the end of this episode, we'll talk about that later, whatever. I thought that the violin and the Irish step dancing was going to be a reference to the fact that, like, almost every single show has had, actually, maybe all of them, all of the live action shows, except maybe Enterprise, I don't recall, and the new ones, obviously, because they're not episodic. They've all had, or made use of, the actors' musical skills. Like, we've had Shakespeare productions put on it, on the Enterprise, like, opera,
Data plays violin,
string quartets,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's a cute reference. And then Mariner takes over. It seems specifically to cause an incident so that somebody would come over and break his violin. And then everybody's like into it. And I was like, kind of offended by that. People who play violin and do Irish step dancing are so boring. Oh, thank God Mariner saved us from Boimler being boring. Like, what? This is exactly the kind of music that people in Star Trek played.
Yeah, and then
am I boring for liking classical music? Like, rude.
There's this one YouTube channel that keeps on like doing comparison videos of like how they reacted in TNG era versus how CBS era reacts to things, and like even when they didn't like something, like there's like a clip I just saw recently where someone like they're doing some kind of performance. It might have been Barkley, then they weren't doing it really well. But still in the audience, they're still very kind and attentive.
Like, and politely laugh.
Data had to be taught a lesson, be like, hey, be cool. Be cool with this person, all right? But here, they're like, who's this fucking guy? And you're like, all right, I get it. It's new Star Trek. So. But what do you guys think of
Michael?
It?
Michael?
Mike?
I don't know. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I didn't like the... Overall, I didn't like the episode as much as the other two, but as far as that scene, I mean, I didn't really care for it either, but I don't know, it just... Overall, this episode seemed like a step down from the other two.
okay.
As far as
that's hilarious, because this is the first step-up episode I've seen.
Really?
Oh, shit, that is hilarious.
Unexpected twist.
Really, I'm with Michael on this one.
Okay.
That's hilarious. I feel like this episode is a general... is even more than the other ones. This is a general parody with Star Trek painted on top rather than a Star Trek parody.
Okay. This one gets a solid maybe C, and I'm being generous, but I feel like I saw some more effort than I've seen up to this point.
There was some things I liked, but yeah.
And like I feel like it's like an inching toward like, oh, okay. So now more the Mariner gets to do everything. Okay. And I appreciate that you guys did this lesson about how not everyone needs to do things on like that tight schedule. I appreciate like working toward like a general lesson for everyone to learn, and that I liked. In like the title, I'm not sure if that subverted my expectation, but I thought it was gonna be a time dilation episode.
Yeah,
so did I. And turn to that. So I did, and then like I was like, they're doing the exaggeration of how long your job takes joke. Oh, but they're extending it into a full story to teach something. All mm-hmm. right, that's not nothing. There we go. They didn't just stop at that being the joke. So I liked that.
Oh yes. I liked, same, I wrote down creative estimating, lower decks putting protocol together. Like, I was excited about it, the like buffer time concept and the captain finding out that people are giving her buffer time all the time. Like, I was really excited about where it was going to go. But then it turned into immediately like a corporate structure joke. Like, you'll see this all the time in retail, in tech, like just all the way across, that the people at the top have never done the job lower down, so they have no idea how long stuff takes. However, all of these officers were once ensigns, so it makes no sense for them to not know how long jobs take, because they have done them. They're not like daddy's rich son who was sent off to college and then immediately put into a position of power above other people. They've worked through the ranks. So the entire like concept of command has no idea how much time jokes take is very much a joke from our world, but not the Star Trek world to me. So it just made the entire episode feel not Star Trek.
You having this point of view is so thickly nerdy. I appreciate it, and I want to give you a hug. And
well, thank you.
Thank you for going there. And I fully agree with you. I just, like, to me, like, when it comes to this, I have to let it go, because they aren't doing normal Star Trek.
Yeah, we just got in this from the opposite side last time we filled an episode, where you were like, it's not Star Trek, and I was like, yeah, I see this Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, so... Yeah, great way of seeing it. Because I definitely didn't see it like that. I definitely saw because I've worked a lot of corporate jobs, and it's just like, yeah, people are like, you don't need buffer time. You need to just keep going. And then all you see is just like exhausted people and not a ship running well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I hate the. I did like that. Okay, I like there's I liked two Mariner things. Finally, I like the joke she made about we live on a starship. You're not going to die from a spear. I already laughed about that in the commercial, but I like that joke. Then I liked the move she did where she jumped up and kicked out all of her limbs at one time and hitting people. I was like, thumbs up on the move. And then she wasn't the one finally to save the day. The last thing that I liked was the double fist punch made me actually laugh out loud because he just kept spamming it.
Oh my god!
But yeah, that was great. The thing that got my hate because I always hate this in fiction. People who treat each other like shit are attracted to each other.
And oh
like,
yeah.
Oh god.
Not a fan of that. Not a fan of that. Oh well, I guess we're just gonna cover the episode in general. So. Mm-hmm. Let me just slide in there that there was a Delta Shift joke.
Yeah.
Is there a Delta Shift on this ship?
I saw a video that says it was a well done. Who's the dad
Jericho?
Joke? Cap Jericho is it Jericho?
Yeah, it's a Jericho reference. Jellico.
Yep. Jericho.
It's a Jellico reference. because only Jellico's ship has a Delta Shift, and they think they're better than everyone else. the Crystal Planet. There was an interesting moment where they're like, fall back! And I was like, why aren't you falling back into your shuttle?
It's right there. What are you doing? They went away from the shuttle. They could have escaped.
And I did.
I like the crystal sword design a lot.
And I did like the line where she was like, "Ooh, surrounded by spears, classic. What am I, Kirk? Is this the 2260s? All right, the 2260s. Oh boy,
it's the 60s. That part of the joke I like saying, "What am I, Kirk?" was too on the nose for me. Of like, you, there's all these starship captains have done this. Can't just if you watch the TV show, maybe you make that joke.
It's just a very like TOS type shenanigan. Keith, you have to watch TOS before you can have an opinion on that. Come on.
I'll get there.
I did like
Drake ransom diplomacy. Ripping his shirt off.
I did like Commander Ransom in this one. Towards the end, he reminded me a lot of Futurama's Captain Zap Brannigan.
Zap Brannigan. Well, Zap Brannigan is a parody of Kirk, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
His name's Commander Ransom?
Yeah. Ransom.
That's funny. I like that.
Do you think he'll get ransomed at some point?
I hope so.
He better.
Yeah.
Or if, since he's like a starship captain, I imagine it's happened like 18 times already. So.
Mm. Oh, and I was complaining earlier about the command has no idea how much things take thing, but I did appreciate that they were also sticking to the like crazy ass schedule. That was nice. Like everybody has to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, I feel like we haven't let you talk for a bit.
Right.
Sorry.
Excuse me. Okay, first off, back to the beginning of the episode. I think it's funny that when he came and broke the violin, there was a broken electric guitar on the floor and he didn't even look at it. He was just like, "Give me that violin." That was funny. Let's see. I love that Boimler, like, this episode was basically brought out the best of him because he is so, like, strict. You know what I mean? So I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that everyone's freaking out, and he was like, "This is the best week of my life." Right? I mean, that was like, it's
power walking down the corridors while everybody's exhausted. Yeah.
And then as far as the like not knowing how long stuff takes, I didn't even think of what you guys had brought up as far as everyone had been an ensign, because I worked in the automotive and motorcycle field for a while. And the way that technicians do things is corporate basically says it takes this long to do a job, to replace a transmission, to, you know, replace these, you know, gaskets or whatever. And if the technician can do it quicker, they get paid for the full time. They just basically can make more because, you know, if they can do it faster than what's given in the book, then they can do more jobs in the same amount of time and make more money. And it's funny because I didn't even think about the ensign thing because I went back on my experience in automotive and motorcycle and the fact that, you know, corporate kind of says this is how long something takes. And what's funny is sometimes it's absolutely wrong and it takes longer, and sometimes it's wrong and it takes less. So it's like, who are these people that make the rules of how long something takes? You know what I mean? So it was different because I actually thought more about real life stuff than I did Star Trek stuff, which I guess explains.
Ah, see, that's exactly what I was saying.
That's what that he explains, yeah. So I just, a lot of it, I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I love that the captain was all messed up, too. She's the one.
Yeah, if you're going to make those people do it, you got to do it,
which
too.
Which is right. That's how it should be. You know, you know, from the top down. I mean, that's, you lead from experience. You lead by example. So it was just, it's funny because I thought it was a good and funny episode. And, you know, I think that, I don't know. I guess in typical Jonathan fashion, I didn't overthink it. I thought it was funny, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead too far, but at the very end where they're like the most, and then the most important person, where who's most likely the most important person in Starfleet history, Chief Miles O'Brien. And
I love
yes, that guy, good laugh out of me.
I love that shout out. Yeah. Like, that's
genuine laugh out loud.
Just, it's just him with like that face, his solemn face, where he's just like at a transporter pad, like
and he's at a transporter pad.
I know. Or transporter controls, and I'm like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, like,
not even DS9 O'Brien.
Nope.
I know. So I mean, like the episode, was good. And I think, you know, the lesson is like, hey, buffer time exists for a reason. People need to be able to, I mean, there was like a little bit of a lesson in there, you know, like everyone needs to have a little bit of breathing room. You can't just do things one after another without having breaks.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like it's important to have that self-reflection time, you know? So, all right, that's it.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Well said. Like, I enjoyed the Miles O'Brien joke a lot.
Yeah.
And also liked that the captain was stringing herself out, but also I did really like that she actually could do all the jobs because she's earned her way there so that
when
she
goes,
let me do it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, uh-oh, is she going to fuck up because, like, she's, oh, wait, no. You're Starfleet. Yeah, you should be able to do that. And she was able to actually do it, but pushing herself too hard. So I did like that.
And I know it's overdone and, and it's, you know, the whole, like, you know, the two people being attracted to each other that are mean to each other kind of thing. But I did laugh at it because I love that she was just like, oh, that's kind of hot. Oh, my God. No. Did I just say that? Like, don't say it. Don't do that. And then he was like, oh. That's kind of hot. No. You know what I mean? Like, that's the funny, the funny part is the reaction. You know what I mean? Like, not.
Yeah.
I mean, and I did absolutely laugh. I was like, that's funny. He stabbed her. He there stabbed her in the foot. The... And then she's like, oh, that's kind of hot.
I think I did laugh at this foot stab. I liked and disliked it at the same time. Because it was unexpected to go that far. But once again, I always hate that you freaking stab someone that doesn't shouldn't create attraction. But ha ha ha, I didn't expect an actual bloody stabbing, so you got me there.
Same feel two kinds of ways. There's bits of the scenes between the two of them that I really like. Or the way the things are formulated that I thought were really funny. Like, she shows off his scars, and she's like, how many scars do you have? And he's like, none. And then at the end, when you're in sick bay, she's like, I could just fix those. And it makes it more clear that it's not that the commander hasn't fought ever, it's just that he always gets his scars fixed because he wants to look like a gleaming
man. Well, I love that.
Also, like, the Kirk references where he's just, like, rips his shirt off, and he's, like, big and bulky and, like, literally oily. They made him look like he was glistening. I was like, all right.
I love that.
And then he just went in and did the Kirk maneuver with the double, the double-handed fist for literally the entire fight.
Bammed it. Just over and over
I don't know
again.
For sure, but it sounded like a few times he said, Kirk chop, Kirk chop. And I was like, oh, probably. That's amazing.
I believe it. The downsides to those scenes for me were like, the mutual attraction now that we're being jerks to each other in a different way. Oh, I didn't realize you could stab me in the foot. That's hot. But also, dang it. When you're about to say something and then you forget what you're saying. Okay. Oh, the aliens, that entire section of Alien felt a lot more like Rick and Morty aliens than Star Trek aliens.
Yeah. Everything about this feels like
Well, because they do second contact. They don't do first contact. So it's, they, you know,
that's true.
The way that I explain that in my head is that they get the missions for the aliens that would be Rick and Morty aliens because they're the second or third, you know, like, what, second string, third string? Like, they're not the starters. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're not the A team, they're the B team.
But let me point out that the tendency for us to meet an alien and then make an assumption about them, about the way they're constructed based on other sci-fi, and then for the alien to be like, oh, it's not like this at all. For example, the big scary beast who's like, actually, I'm really smart. I just pretend to be dumb so other people like me. Like, that's very Rick and Morty. That's not very Star Trek.
I agree.
I also did like that once you let Starfleet's soldiers or crew do their thing, that they can steamroll anybody. I like that they're like,
especially with spears. I mean, my God,
what was that?
Especially people with spears. I mean, my God,
yes, they're getting beat down with tablets. Like,
we're taken over by spears. Wait a minute,
no.
What? Oh, you know what I did want to bring up is the commander and how when she was like, you know, show me your where are your scars. How many scars do you have? And he was like. And it's funny because he goes, none. You know that. And I'm like, how would she know that? But then it makes sense with the whole, like, hey, I could get rid of those scars for you. No. So, you know, it made sense after that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have scars. I must look like a gleaming man.
I'd missed it. I thought that he didn't have scars because he hadn't done anything.
That's the impression they want to give you, and then you're supposed to realize that you're wrong later on in the episode, Keith.
Well, and yeah. Oh,
did you realize you were wrong? Jeez.
Well, and the,
nope, I missed
and the
it.
Fact that he specifically says, you know that. I don't have any. You know that. I mean, that's
so, mm-hmm. Did you sleep together? Well, that's, or, yeah, yes, medical. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's where I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, it would make sense. He is the Kirk / Riker.
Mm-hmm. I read it completely wrong then. I thought him saying, you know that, because I haven't done anything ever in my life, is what I thought that was going for. And then also he's a badass, but then like I used my usual Star Trek way I see Star Trek is that anyone in Starfleet is also usually a master martial artist, so that any kind of alien who isn't trained would get beat down by him, especially using the double fists.
Well, if you're a commander, anyway. If you're an ensign or a crewman, then, like, good luck.
Yeah. I'll tell your family that they loved you or something.
Yep. Whoops. Anyway.
But yeah, see, I don't hate everything. Yay!
Yay!
As for the Boimler storyline, Keith, you'll be very happy to know that I have this note.
Mm-hmm.
Does Boimler not getting rewarded become a thing? Because boo.
I also didn't notice he didn't get rewarded.
He gets rewarded with something he hates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His name is attached to, like, literally the opposite of the person that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did all of this. He's the person who saved the ship, and his reward sucks. Like, I don't like that Meg stereotype. You know, that Family Guy has a Meg, that, Community has a Pierce. Like, Pierce sucks, don't get me wrong, but that Parks and Rec has that Jerry. Like, I don't like that. That's a thing that we do in comedy, and I really don't want that to happen with Boimler, where every single episode ends with, like, Boimler's doing something stupid. Like, I don't remember how the first one ended, but the second one ended with him laughing about, like, oh, she didn't realize it was Ferengi when, like, clearly it was a Ferengi. Like, obviously she was lying. And then this one, like, Boimler was the laziest Starfleet officer ever. Like, yikes.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get away from that.
But, like, that he got a win at all this time was kind of nice, because the thing that makes him annoying in the certain circumstance made him finally normal, which I appreciate that at all. Mm-hmm. Some felt like very Lisa Simpson, where when she's in her element, then she can really flourish. But when she's like around a bunch of slackers and idiots, she seems like the odd one out.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that, so that he finally was able to succeed ever at anything.
Yeah, that was nice. I just wish that he'd been celebrated for it instead of it being kind of a joke at the end of the episode.
I feel we saw some progress at the things that we're complaining about this episode. So
okay, good.
Keep going, guys, please.
Michael J.
Michael J. Fox.
What?
Sorry. Gene Wolfe.
No, I like.
Yeah. Are you the Fox Boys?
Sure. Okay. No, I like it overall. Not as much as the first two, but and yeah, I hope the Boimler doesn't become the Meg of the show, because that's, and I just don't like that, but. I see it growing. I think the fourth episode is going to unite us all together, all the four hosts, and we're going to love it. And, you know,
magic drink. Number four.
Yeah, magic number four. Four of four.
What's the next
Jay, what
episode?
Did you think?
Do we know? Oh, sorry.
I don't
What's
know.
What's that? Yeah,
I never
sure.
watched the next episode things.
I liked it. I mean, I didn't, you know, it's not my favorite episode, but it's, I didn't.
Which one is your favorite episode so far?
So far? Let's see. Good question.
There's only been three.
I don't know. Like, I just know that this isn't it. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
the first
that?
One,
How about that?
The first one was my favorite so far.
But I did like it. I thought it was funny. I, as always, didn't think too much about it, and I just enjoyed the stupid humor. It's funny because at the end with the whole, like, you know, Boimler being the, you know, like, laziest, you know, most distinguished Starfleet officer, you know, buffer time guy. It's, you know, him becoming known for something. It's almost like a win, but not. I mean, that was funny, you know? I mean, they're, like, they're doing their job. It's funny. They're throwing in all the Star Trek, you know, funny stuff and call outs and shout outs. And what I think's cool about that in a non overthinking way is how many people are going to Google, okay, how many people aren't familiar with TNG or aren't familiar with DS9 or whatever, but are going to watch this because it's funny, and then are going to Google, who's Miles O'Brien? Or why, you know, like, why does he fight with the double fists? Or, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna be people that are like, I want to know what this is about, because this sounds kind of funny. Yeah. You know, so I mean, it's business. It's cool because it's bringing more people to Star Trek, which is amazing.
I agree. Yeah.
Is it? Because the jokes are very Star Trek-centric, and I'm not sure the show would hold somebody who's never watched Star Trek.
Or would they watch it because of the show?
That one sci-fi writer's daughter, she liked it.
Oh,
and
good.
That got her into regular Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. So all right, then. Cool.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Although, I see the dark future. You will not see any more of CBS Star Trek like this after the last season of Discovery. You will not get a season 2 of Picard and with Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds will not happen.
Okay, you're fired. We'll see.
On that note. Right.
Let me put that down for the list of...
Yeah, not what I want. Well, okay, it actually is what I want. I'm sorry.
Damn.
But I'm reading the cards and the, what is podcast? In the sky. the things that I'm seeing are that Lower Decks doesn't cost any money to make, and Discovery and Picard aren't blowing up, and they are crazy expensive to make.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see them saying, all right, stop. We gotta like regroup and find what does make money, keep making the cheap stuff that's animated, and we'll keep our licenses that way, but I see a change coming soon.
I don't.
All right. Yeah. Well, the downer's noted.
I mean, and 18 more seasons for all of them because everybody loves it and it's very popular.
Well, on the flip side, I gotta say, I see a different future. I see a future where now TV and movies can coexist, and it's going to expand the universe again because they have to stay relevant compared to Marvel, compared to Star Wars. They're gonna have to. They're gonna have to invest. They're going to have to invest, and they know that. It's a business thing. So I don't think they're going anywhere because the Star Trek fan base is already huge. How many people go to conventions? How many people like love Star Trek already? So they've already got a built-in fan base. It's their job now to take that and to grow it. And that's going to take money, and it's going to take commitment, and they know that. So, I mean, I think that the future is going to be good. There are going to be movies. There are going to be TV shows. Possible crossover stuff. Who knows? Because now that CBS and Viacom have merged again, it's like all options are on the table now, which hasn't been true for a while.
But is me saying this that much of a downer?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not meant to be a downer. Like I like watching this kind of stuff. Like it's like sports to me. Ooh. I like seeing how business works and reactions and whatnot. So, like, the other side of it is that, like, the merchandise for this isn't selling. Licensors don't want to sell it because they see the fan backlash. And then, like, the short tracks have been released on YouTube, but, like, no one's watching them. So what happened with Microsoft and Mixer? Like, they're like, we're in. We're going to spend all this money to make it big. But then after a certain amount of time, like, there was no growth, and like because of the lack of growth, they had to cut their losses and then regroup and rechange so that they could find the formula that does have exponential growth, and this new kind of Star Trek hasn't had that.
Well, I mean, I understand, but this is a selfish thing because I want to be able to watch Star Trek. Like, I would like for a Star Trek show to be on all year, not the same show, but I would like to be able to watch a new Star Trek episode. It's every week, every 2 weeks or whatever. throughout the year, because Star Trek is what I would prefer to watch. I would drop every streaming service, if I had Star Trek to watch consistently. That would be my go-to. I would literally not even, I'd probably never log into Netflix if I had something new Star Trek related to watch all the time. So, I mean, you know, and that's me. It's a selfish thing, but that's why I have an opposite viewpoint, because in my like heart, I hope that they do that because I really want more Star Trek. I want Star Trek all the time, all the time. That's all I want to watch if it's available. Oh,
boy. Jay,
I just want to point out though that like Keith's more likely to be the person to guess what happens in the future, since he just like listed a bunch of stuff that I'm not watching, and you're like entirely deciding on like what you want. So I admire your optimism, but I've written down exactly what both of you have said. And whoever gets this correct, like, I'm going to send you a t-shirt. But
cool. I'm not saying exactly what I want. Although, yeah, I'll admit this is what I do want. Because, like, I want Star Trek, too. But I just want what I see as better Star Trek. Where I see the explosion of someone's, like, I've always wanted to tell this story. And then the expansion of my imagination.
Yeah, there's so many people out there who were dying to write Star Trek.
I don't know.
And not chase Game of Thrones or Star Wars or Rick and Morty. I understand. Just like give me new science fiction. And
well, they're not chasing Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is their style.
Yeah, the Orville. I have to go to the Orville.
How about you watch the original Star Trek and then you can talk about new Star Trek? Because technically, that's
new to you too.
So I mean, you know, let's
now that I'm running out of Stargate.
I'm just, I'm just poking fun.
No, I'm good with the old stuff that's new to me.
Keith only has one episode left.
Oh, God.
But no, I mean,
I deserve whatever I get because I made fun of Stargate and like I laughed at their cancellation because I was like, F this show. I should have got more Farscape. I don't know why they keep doing it. And oh, God.
Don't get me wrong. Like,
I love you, Stargate.
Like, I know that I'm probably not right, but it's what I want to happen. So I know Keith has points, and I recognize his points, and I recognize that he has valid points, and
I'm just not an optimist.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's right. Not what I want. What I want is more Star Trek. So that's what I'm going to hold to until I'm proven wrong, you know, and it's not a realistic thing. It's just what I want. So, you know, it is what it is.
I have been learning because of the fall of Star Wars has taught me that there's definitely so much enjoyment you can get out of what I consider bad fiction. So if it does keep going, I'm actually cool with it. Like, I've seen YouTubers make some of the greatest art I've ever seen because of their anguish from the fall of Star Wars, or because how bad some of us saw Picard. Like, my favorite YouTube channel, Red Letter Media, did such an amazing review and tearing apart of Picard that was all about the love of Star Trek that, like, I've watched it more than once. So I'm good either way. Like, if you can do new realms of, like, science fiction that blew my mind, that's good. I still have the Orville, which is doing that. If you don't, that means my other artists will reflect back the love that still exists, and I get to have either fun either way. And then, like, also, bad fiction makes for better conversation.
That's true.
We'll find out if it does once we get to Undiscovered Country and I have just oodles and oodles of love all over that perfect freaking movie.
It is a good movie.
Okay. Any last thoughts?
Nah.
No.
Keep going. I think that Lord X is going in the right direction. So, my fingers are crossed.
Like I said, episode 4 is going to do. It's going to bring us all together.
Sounds
Mark
good.
My words.
Talk about optimism.
There you go.
Your final thoughts, Breen?
I'll keep watching. It feels kind of general right now.
If I have to.
It's difficult to do a parody that's this specific.
You're not feeling what? How do you feel about the direction? Do you feel it's going in a direction at all of improvement?
The first episode was still the one that I was most excited for after it ended, because it was very much, like, the setup and, like, what might happen. In episode 2 and 3, I haven't seen much development. Both of them were pretty much like, Mariner thinks that she knows exactly what she's doing, and at the end may or may not have to eat her words. In this case, she did, which was nice, because that shows that Mariner might have some character growth. I'm not super excited about the Mariner Commander being hot for each other in this situation, but, like, it shows that there might be some character movement. I'm just right now real anxious that it's going to turn into a shit on Boimler thing.
Yeah.
So, depending on how they treat the Boimler storyline, it's going to kind of branch off in both directions for me.
Fingers are crossed. Fingers are very crossed.
I'm hoping for more character development. If there's more character development, I will like it. If there isn't, I won't. That's it.
Fair.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Right there with you.
Yeah. Thank you. I am hoping for character development, because the great thing about episodic, which this is that they have time.
I'm right there with you. That last episode showed me some character of movement and dynamicisms. So.
Right.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Keep looking up.
What?
Oh, the episode's
Thanks,
over
Keith,
now.
For
All right, bye.
For
okay. But no, I guess that is the end then.
It is.
The last thing I did love was seeing the ship glide through space TNG style. I loved seeing that. That was cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
All right. Yeah, I'm out. I'm done.
Right.
On that note.
Hey, Jay already said it.
Well, it's not official until
I said it as a joke.
I guess we're done.
We're done now because
Jay said it. Jay said
it. Jay.
Everybody keep looking up.
Yay!
There it is.
Goodbye.
All right.
Rock on.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
See you guys on the next Starship.